April 2nd is going to be a Good Friday service, so we're doing it a little bit different this year. Again, because of COVID and not, you know, different churches have different rules. So we're actually just partnering with one other church to do a service. So there's going to be a couple services going on in town. But we're going to be partnered with the Free Methodist Church. And so we're going to be meeting at the Free Methodist Church at noon on Good Friday for a joint service, if you're able to attend that. Those have always been real blessings to go to over the years. They usually last about 45 minutes. So if you have an hour lunch break or something, you should still be able to go to that service and praise God with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the community. One thing that's not up there is on March 28th, and this is really for the college students, but there's going to be a finance class going on during the young adult group time, and it's going to be Tim from Thrivent Financial. He sometimes comes to our church, and he's going to be giving a presentation just on biblical finances. And the reason we do this, and I know the college students aren't here, but I still feel like I have to say it, there's one. But the reason we do this is because over the years, after people have graduated, one of the things that they tell me is nobody ever taught me how to use money. Nobody ever taught me how to, you know, it's my first job. I finally, like, kind of truly on my own, and nobody ever told me what I needed to do. And so this way, it's a good, like, head start into using your finances biblically, because nothing we own is ours, right? We actually don't own anything. It's all God's. And so how do we use the things that God has given us? So I encourage you to do that. And if you're someone who's like, you know what, I'm not a college student, I'm not a part of the young adult ministry, but this would still be beneficial to me, talk to me and maybe we can either get you to that class or maybe Tim would be willing to do another one for us. So let me know. Next slide, please. There we go. Building updates. This is really hard to believe. We have five more Saturdays where we need volunteers. And then we're hoping to be in that other space. There's actually six more Saturdays, but we're hoping we don't go there in Easter weekend. So five more Saturdays where we can use volunteers. You know, I was sitting and praying this morning, and I was asking myself, Lord, tell me something. I want to hear your voice because my voice is dumb. I want to hear your voice. And at 8:05, with my dog sitting right here, actually my clock said 7:05 because I hadn't changed it yet. But at 8:05, God said, you know that part of Scripture that you hate reading? I was like, Lord, I don't hate any part of Scripture. He's like, yeah, you do. You know that part when I lay out how things were built and I say this tribe brought this much and this tribe brought that much and that person did this and this is what it looked like and it goes on and on and on for chapters? And I was like, oh yeah, Lord, I remember that. It's like, why do you think I put that in the Scriptures? I put that in there to honor those people who were honoring me by what they were doing. And I think about all the ways that all of you have been honoring God with putting that building together. And it just really touched me this morning to hear God saying that. He saw it fit, these people that we otherwise have never heard of doing these things that we really don't care about, he saw it so much glorifying him that he included it in Scripture for all posterity. And so I just want you to know how much I appreciate all of you and that know that you are doing God's work. It may not feel like when you're putting down carpet squares or when you're painting corners that you're doing God's work, but God saw it fit in Scripture to record people doing those exact same things just 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. So just realize you are doing something great for the Lord. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Philip with the Missionary Minute.
Let's try that again. Good morning, church. Good morning. So today's missionary moment is on Gospel Harvesters International. And could you go to the next slide for me? And we support two missionaries through Gospel Harvesters International. Mac and Dottie Kearney is one of those. And so you need to know our connection to Mac and Dottie. Pastor Jeff Nettles, who founded this church, was discipled and came to know Jesus through Mac and Dottie's evangelism in Germany, and hence was discipled by Mac and Dottie Kearney, and Mac helped start Gospel Harvesters International. And yes, if you go back up there, please, go back up, you can see that they live currently in Texas. And yes, If you think about what's recently happened in Texas, they've recently been affected by, so you can go down, they were recently affected by the cold weather. Pipes burst in their house, and the water, an inch and a half in their bottom floor of their house. And so they said, they were saying something to the effect of, in their newsletter, that, you know, nothing compares to the trials of others. But they said, we would value your prayers for our saneness and strength to endure this madness. So pray for them as they go back and forth between a hotel and trying to fix up their house currently. And so next line, we also support Sam and Faye, and they recently had an addition to their house. They have a new son named Abraham Paul Samuel. And so that was in October. They had a new baby boy. And so I'm going to have to change my slide for them now that they have a new one added to their mix. But so just in general, Aaron is a man who's on the ground who's leading Gospel Harvesters International. Sam is the one. I'm getting my names all confused. Sam is the one leading on the ground in India in Gospel Harvest International. And I want to let you know that our church, just like when you tithe to our church tithes to Gospel Harvesters International 5% of our income to Gospel Harvesters. And so as we talk about this, hopefully you pray for Gospel Harvesters International, but you also give to Gospel Harvesters International. If you think about it, every $100 you give, $5 goes to Gospel Harvesters International. So you are directly, physically with your money and spiritually with your prayers connected to this. And so I want to encourage you, as you hear about some of the amazing things that are happening with Gospel Harvesters International, I'm going to share with you a few excerpts from their updates recently. It says, I believe you give because you realize the seriousness of bringing the gospel to India, which also includes the mandate to take care of orphans and widows, and the imperative of training up godly young men and women for ministry. Hence, the Ministry of Gospel Harvesters of India, the Father's Home Orphanage, and Harvesters Theological College and Seminary. So thank you for taking ownership of Gospel Harvesters International with us. Unlike corporations who return dividends to their shareholders, you will be delayed a bit until you meet our Savior face to face and be judged according to the way we live and gave of ourselves, meaning our personal giftings and giving. God will not judge us on what we gave. No, he will judge us on what we kept. So again, thank you for your generosity. So pray for God to be honored through the professor's teaching into the lives of these remarkable young people. And so hopefully you can get the slide of, keep going down one more. So hopefully we can be praying for these professors who we are giving to the seminary. And I forgot to mention, go back to the slide before, some other news has happened in this past year. Sam's two daughters got baptized, and they've had lots of other people get baptized as well. And so we get to be a part of the many baptisms that are happening. There are too many positive things to report and even some sad things to report, but I'm just going to give you some more little pieces of that information. The orphanage has continued to find favor with the local government, and multiple different miracles have happened. And if you'd like to know more about those miracles, I'd love to share them with you. We're happy to report that in spite of COVID-19, we were able to preach the gospel to nearly 11,400 people, and over 8,300 trusted Christ to the glory of God. And that's with COVID-19 restricting things. Please continue to pray for the follow-up and the nurturing of these new believers. Unreached peoples were reached, and some have come to saving faith. And so in this picture, you can see the man on the far right is one of those unreached people groups. Over the years of Gospel Harvesters International, they've reached 13 different unreached people groups. And so praise God that we get to be a part of that. Every Christmas, the children who have gone through the Father's home would come back and celebrate Christmas with us It was during this time that six boys shared their difficulties, financial and spiritual. Some of them had fallen into bad company, learned bad habits, and lived a life apart from the Lord. They requested if they could come under our care once again for fatherly guidance. They asked that I rent a home for them. They could pay the rent, though, and be there with them. I was so moved and said yes. This is our calling, young men asking to be loved and mentored. I encouraged our local Gospel Harvesters International staff to help, and they stepped up. By the grace of God, all the boys have got a job now. They're all working hard, cooking their own food, reading the Bible, and praying together, attending the church, and growing in the Lord. Though these guys have grown big, they are still our little children. So pray for them to stabilize with their schooling and with one another as we receive new ones to our campus. So that's just one of the cool stories of how God's working. And lastly, when the government began to relax, so we had the ability of a semi-normal life where we could do ministry, we found that many of our 184 villages had faced strong opposition from the ruling BJP party. And we are now faced with the problem of taking back old ground from the enemy. Please pray for the safety of our men and women who are in the battle. Please pray for these men and women who continue to stay strong in their faith and grow to be Christ-like. Let's pray for the missionaries, pastors, professors, and staff. And let's do that this week, and let's do that right now. God, thank you for, first of all, loving us and adopting us as your sons and daughters. We don't deserve to be your children, but yet you give us that honorable name. Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of your family that is not only here in this place, but around the United States and around the world. Thank you that we get to be a part of supporting your family in India. Thank you that we get to be a part of an orphanage that meets the needs of neglected children. Thank you that we get to be a part of a seminary that's training up young men to go and preach the gospel, missionaries and pastors and church plants. Thank you that we get to be a part of supporting Sam and Faye. Lord, we pray that you'd help them to adjust their new baby. We pray that you would give strength and courage to the young men and women who are being taught at the theological seminary. We pray that you'd help the missionaries and pastors, that they would go back into the villages and that your Holy Spirit would work, and they'd be able to take back the spiritual ground that's been lost during COVID-19 and the lockdown. We pray for, there's so much to pray for. I pray that you would just continue to work in Gospel Harvest International. We pray for Mac and Dottie. We pray you'd help them to get their house fixed up without much hassle. Pray that you give them saneness. We pray that for all this, for your glory. Amen.
Well, we're going to transition now into a time of prayer. We are a praying church, no doubt. I thought it was fitting that Matt mentioned this morning that as he took some time to pray, the first thing that he thought or said was, God, speak to me. I want to hear you. And that's what we should all be doing. I think every time that we come into this room for a worship time, we should be asking God to speak to us and make sure that we're listening and be aware that he's here. So as we consider the generous work of God and our response to him this morning, we can be informed by the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So as you're listening to God and aware of his presence this morning, know that he is there to take your heavy burdens. We're not isolated, and we don't have to bear those burdens alone. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now as we pray for one another and pray to God, granting him blessing and praise. Bow with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him." Father, we want to take some time now to just be listening. We know that you will answer our prayers, that your hearing is perfect, without flaw, no gaps. You are close at all times. We come to you now in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to let go of the things that are hanging heavy in our hearts or on our minds. We want to let go of concerns and worries that keep us from a close personal relationship with you. Church, we want to take some time now, just a few moments, to put any concerns that you have into God's hands, knowing that he is working on our behalf. Lord God, we know that as your truth is without flaw and no gap, there is also a requirement that you proclaim in the shall not statements in Scripture, in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, we read this: "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Heavenly Father, we understand that the heart of this commandment is that we would be content with who you have made us to be, and content with what you have generously provided for us. Lord, we want to confess now where we have fallen short, and give praise to you where it is due. Father, we know that Christianity was never meant to be something that we keep inside of us. Our joy and our hope should overflow that so that others would see it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says this: "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Father, at this time we pray for boldness. Boldness to share Christ and invite others into the church. Boldness, yes, Lord. But at the same time, we pray that you would always lead us to share the good news with gentleness and respect. Lord, we want to take just a few moments right now. Bring to our minds in the next few moments someone whom we could share the gospel with boldly, but with gentleness and respect. We read in your word, Lord, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Father, so often when I humble myself and turn away from my desires and turn my face toward yours, you remind me of the blessings that I have. Lord, this morning, and it seems every morning when we gather, a gentle reminder comes from the voices of the very youngest in our midst. And we're thankful and blessed by the presence of the young children. Lord, we want to pray for those who care for young children, knowing that every day they take up the call to share you and to model you before them. Lord, we're praying for anyone here who is present that is a mother-to-be, carrying a child. Pray for health and good fortune as those births come near. Father, this church has been blessed in so many ways. We look around at one another, the friends and neighbors that we have. Lord, we look a little bit to the west at that property out there with that building that's getting ever closer, it seems daily. We're amazed by what you're doing there. We look forward to what you'll do in the future. Father, we have set aside this time this morning to offer prayers and praise to you and you alone, the one who defines truth and declares what is good. God, we know that you alone are righteous, and we are always grateful to you for calling us out of our darkness. Lord, keep us from idolatry. You alone are worthy of the first place of love and devotion in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to read from God's holy word. This morning, Matt will be preaching in his series on the healthy church. Today's passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. If you would, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word aloud. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus is accursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This ends the reading of God's word. You can be seated.
Good morning again. Well, once there was this little girl who just loved to paint. She could paint the most beautiful pictures you could ever imagine. But unfortunately, as she grew older, she became more and more suspicious of people. On the one hand, she feared that people would not like her artwork. But then on the other hand, she didn't want people to only like her for her artwork. So you know what she did? She hid it. She bought a barn on an isolated property, and day after day, she would paint the most marvelous things. And she would put the paintings in the barn. Well, one day, as happens to all of us, this woman became very ill, and in fact, she knew that she was going to die. And with her last remaining strength, she went out to this nearly full barn where all her gorgeous paintings were. And she squeezed some lighter fluid on it, lit a match, and went back to the hospital to die. And nobody cared. The end. Today, we are in the third week of our topical series where we're seeking to answer the question, what makes a healthy church? And by healthy, we mean a church that's worth keeping around. And we're assuming throughout this series, by the way, that a healthy church is first and foremost an upward-focused church. That is, it's a church that's praying and that it's a church that is seeking to please God. That's the umbrella on which all these others fall. And with that caveat, we've learned so far that a healthy church is an outward-focused church. And we've learned that a healthy church is a place of biblical fellowship. And fellowship is something we have, and fellowship is something that we do. This morning, we're going to see how a healthy church is a place where people use their gifting for the common good, with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11 as our guiding passage. Now, let me ask you this. Did anyone just like that story I told about the paintings? I didn't. I didn't like that story at all. It wasn't very satisfying. You're hearing it, and you're just waiting for me to tell you that someone's going to discover her gift. You're waiting to hear that something about that those paintings are going to have meaning into the world. We wanted someone to care. And we all intuitively know that when there is some sort of gift, when there is something beautiful happening in the world, it's meaningless unless it's shared. Too often we hide our gifts because we fear being hurt or we fear being taken advantage of. But our gifts are not for ourselves. They are for others. And until we use them for others, our lives will be just as unsatisfying as that story I just told. Our gifts and our talents are meant for the common good. And I think that's why sometimes we will come across some really talented people, but they will rub us the wrong way. Like the story I just told, this person might have had a gift and worked on it very hard to develop it, but unlike that story I told, most of the time we know people's talents. And these talents are often, or far too often, used by people good at things only to build themselves up, bringing glory to themselves alone. And though this isn't the case all the time, it's the case often enough, I can't watch award shows anymore. Drives me crazy because these celebrities or athletes or whoever it is, they maybe pay lip service to others, but the whole thing is just about this being out for yourself and patting yourself on the back and this is for me and look how great I am. Or think about maybe other career fields. Think about politicians. Actually, I don't even need to explain that one, do I? Politicians tend to be out for themselves. Or maybe you've worked with someone before, or worked with someone who's always scheming and maneuvering and trying to use their talents to get one more rung up the corporate ladder. And behind them, they leave a trail of destruction. Or maybe you're like me. You go to school so you can get a good job, so that you can have stuff and be comfortable, so that one day you can burn your barn down, never having helped, but never having hurt either. Now, wait a minute, you might be thinking. Ever since I was in preschool, People have been telling me I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to study and I'm supposed to work hard and I'm supposed to find my gifts so that I will be fulfilled. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Maybe the question we should be asking is not what's wrong with that. Maybe the question we should be asking is what's right with that? Most of you probably know that first century Corinth was a messed up place. And the church in Corinth was a messed up church. They had a lot of problems. And so the Apostle Paul wrote them this letter that we call 1 Corinthians. And in this letter, he tells them things like, don't create division in the church. Don't eat food if you know it was sacrificed to idols. Don't have sex with your father's wife. Don't discriminate against the poor when you're having the Lord's Supper. I mean, this is some stuff that's pretty basic in my mind. This is, you know, some things that none of us would argue Paul being upset about. But you know what? Paul doesn't spend most of his time in this letter talking about those things. He doesn't spend most of his time telling people what they're doing wrong. He spends most of his time in this letter scolding them for not doing what's right. In particular, he spends 3 chapters talking about how they're not using their spiritual gifts right. They're using their spiritual gifts. They're, no kidding, manifestations of the living God working inside them and through them. They're using this to build themselves up. Get more status, get more power, and get all the wonderful things that come along with status and power. And many commentators argue that the theme, the main idea for chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians is found in verse 7 of our passage today. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, for the common good. Our gifts are for the common good. Good. My gift is not just for me and for my good, it's for the people around me. Paul says, you're smart. Great. Use it for the common good. Oh, you can heal people? Awesome. Use it for the common good. You're an expert with languages? Great. Use it for the common good. And by the way, this isn't being some sort of sadistic martyr, right? Because indirectly, when you use your gifts and talents for the common good, you're still helping yourself. You really are. You're finding fulfillment yourself. And you're doing it as part of the body of Christ, as you see if you read the rest of chapter 12. And if you read chapter 13, you see that your gifts are for the common good because you're supposed to do all things in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not about marriage, it's about the church, by the way. And in verse 14, we hear that we are supposed to have orderly worship while using our gifts so that others are built up for the common good. The gifts we have from God are for the common good. That's why he gave them to us. Kids, why did God give us gifts and talents? For the common good. This idea that we go to school, work hard, and use our talents to build ourselves up is very unique to the modern Western world. It's very selfish, very unfulfilling. And then we wonder why we have so much angst and anxiety in our culture, why there's so much hopelessness in our society today. We have all this stuff, but we're using it wrong. Let me share a story with you. On my base in Afghanistan, we had this small gym, and working at the gym was a guy named Sonny. Sonny wasn't his real name, but that's the name he went by because, as he said, nobody could pronounce his real name anyways. He was this skinny, goofy civilian who was from India and somehow got this job handing out towels and equipment in one of the most dangerous places on the planet. I really don't know how you get a job like that or why you would want it. But Sonny was always smiling. He had a sunny disposition. And he was truly a pleasure to be around, and since I went to the gym on most days, I started to get to know him a little bit. Sonny was on a 3-year contract. He never got to go home during the entire 3 years. And he sent every penny he earned back to the elders of his village in India. Every penny. Because he could live for free on the base. Why? Why did he do that? Because he had a job and most people in his village didn't. That's just what you do. You have things so that you can share them. Otherwise, what's the point in having them? God, if God gives you the gift of intelligence, you go to school and you work hard for the common good. If God gives you an opportunity to go to one of the worst places in the world and hand out towels in the gym, but you can use it to build up your village in India, you do that for the common good. If God gives you the ability to match colors and see how to make spaces beautiful in a church building so that it doesn't look like a warehouse, you use that for the common good. The talents we have from God are for the common good. They're not for us. Jesus tells the famous story of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, right? That's the one where he gives one man 5 talents and another 2 and another 1. And we learn in that parable that we're not supposed to hide our talents away, right? Like the artist in my story did. Instead, we're supposed to develop those talents. And we're supposed to use them so that they grow, right? But you know, as Americans, we filter that story through our modern, Western, individualistic, and materialistic eyes. And we think that means that God has given us gifts, God has given us gifts so that we can develop them for ourselves, for our benefit. And sometimes maybe because we're Christians, we baptize that. We baptize our selfishness by saying this nebulous thing, for the glory of God. Right? But what I don't understand is, how does using my gifts to get things for myself glorify God? How does using my gifts so that others say, look how awesome he is, how does that glorify God? How does using my talents so that I can live a life of ease and comfort while others suffer glorify God? It doesn't. It doesn't glorify God. But when we use our talents for the common good, and when we develop ourselves so that we can build up others and for the benefit of those in the church, we actually do glorify God because we are functioning as one and doing things the way he designed it. That's going to point others to him. You know, it's no wonder that immediately after our passage today, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we'll spend 19 verses explaining that we are one body with many members. That we are supposed to function as a single organism using our abilities for the common good. And so if you're a finger, you're supposed to be doing the grabbing. And if you're a foot, you're supposed to be doing the walking. And if you're a large intestine, if you're lungs, the large intestines aren't here this morning. You're all okay. If your lungs, you're supposed to be doing the breathing. The toes can't do the breathing. The fingers can't do the walking. The feet can't do the grabbing. We need each other. We need each other's gifts. We need each other's talents. And we need it so we can pursue the mission of God and be a healthy church. Look, one or two people can't do it all. Nobody can do everything that this church needs to be done. There are jobs you don't want me to do. Trust me. You don't want me picking out the decorations at our church building. I'll tell you that right now. In fact, you are better at most things than I am. You are better at most things than I am. And here's something else. There is something that you are the best at in this church. There's something that you are the very best at. You can do it better than anyone else, and you need to be doing it for the common good. And there are multiple things that you are better at than most people And we need you to be doing them for the common good. And so the question becomes, how? How can I use my gifts or talents for the common good? And so there are three simple ways that you need to discover. Let me back up. You use your gifts for the common good by making sure you know what your gifts are at first. And there are three ways that are very simple to discover what your gifts are. The first one is take one of those spiritual gift assessments, right? They're online, they're free. There's this one in particular that I recommend, and I've sent out the link in my church email before, but if you don't have it or you don't remember it, I'll be happy to pass it along. But that's one way to discover your gifts. Another way to discover your gifts is simple: to ask someone. Ask someone. Ask people to share with you what they think your gifts are. Because oftentimes people can see things in us that we don't see in ourselves, right? But by the way, for this to work, to ask someone, you have to make sure they know you and that they're willing to be honest with you too. But ask someone. That's another simple way to discover your gifts. The third simple way to discover your gifts is to pay attention to what people ask from you. Because many times we intuitively know the gifts of others even if we can't articulate them. And that gets reflected in our requests. What are the things that people are asking you for or about all the time? What are people always coming to you for instead of somebody else? If you have a gift in an area, you're going to see people are going to ask you about whatever, subject A, and you're going to find yourself doing subject A a lot because you have a gift in that area, and that's why people keep coming to you. Be intentional about discovering what your gifts are. That's how you're going to end up being able to use them for the church. You have to discover your gifts first. Then, once you know your gifts, there are a few things you need to do so that you can employ them to impact the church for the common good. The first thing is, and we kind of already talked about this, you need to develop your gifts. Nobody has reached their full potential. Is there anyone here who doesn't think God can do more with them? Nobody has reached their full potential. Never stop growing. Never stop refining. Keep trying to turn those 5 talents into 10 talents. The second thing, make sure people are aware of your desire to use your gifts. I'm going to be real. I can't keep track of the gifts and talents of 100 people. I'm not going to. And I'm certainly not the one who can stratify you against each other and say, well, Craig is at 98% of this, but Heather's at 99%. I can't do that. So you need to make sure that you are letting people know of your desire to use things. I need your input. The elders need reminders. We all need to discover what your gifts are as well. So you're discovering your gifts, but all of us need to discover your gifts as well. And so tell us. Tell us about your desire to use them. Otherwise, we'll just ask the same 3 people all the time, right? And the fact of the matter is, I don't hate you. I don't hate you for, that's not why I don't know your talents. I just don't know. I just don't know. Finally, just do something. Just do something. You don't have to wait to be asked. Take initiative if you see that there's a need that your gifts and your talents can meet. Just talk to me. Plus, you don't have to do those things all the time that are just in the top 10% of your giftings. Having the right heart, having that servant's heart, is far more important to God and far more important to me than how good you are at something. I don't care how gifted and talented you are. If you're a pompous jerk, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to protect the church by not letting you use your gifts. Pompous jerks don't do things for the common good. If someone's so arrogant that they won't do something that's beneath them, that they won't grab a broom or a mop, that they're not willing to go put some paint on some drywall, if it's beneath them, they've got a lot of maturing to do and a lot of faith that needs to grow before they can really do things well for the common good. Just do something. The Holy Spirit is asking us today to be different from the world, to use our gifts and talents for the common good, specifically for the kingdom. Not just while we have a building project, although I think you're going to be kicking yourself if you don't get to volunteer at this project. Like I said, only 5 more weeks left. This is going to be one of those things that as a church we look back at and say, wow. In fact, most of us are saying wow already. Don't miss this chance. You will kick yourself. You will regret it for the rest of your life if you're not taking time and making time to help with this. But this is not just about the building project. This is about always. Because that's how God designed us to function as the body of Christ. Using our talents for the common good. And we won't feel connected and we won't feel fulfilled unless we are using our gifts and talents for each other. What does that look like for you? What does turning your 5 talents into 10 talents for the sake of others look like for you? Imagine what our church would look like if we all actually knew what our gifts were and then we employed them for the common good. Can you see the impact it would have, not just on our church, but on our community, even if just most of us did it? Don't burn down your barn without anyone knowing about your gifts. Don't be selfish. Don't waste the gift. Instead, use them for the common good. Let's pray. Holy Lord, you are the giver of good things. You have gifted every single person in this room. And Lord, we know that when we are believers, we have the fullness of your Spirit in us. Lord, may we take advantage of that. May we use your gifting for the common good so that you may get the glory and that people will praise your name and see that you are powerful, you are real. Lord, many times you use our weaknesses. That's not to say that our strengths should never be used, but we know that you use our weaknesses as well. And you do that so that we will rely on you more. You are always doing so many awesome things that we couldn't possibly even think of. And so we thank you for that. Please forgive us, Lord, when we bury our talents. Please forgive us when we are selfish and only use what you have given us for selfish reasons. Forgive us when we hide away and just leave things for others when we know that you have called us to do it. But you are graceful, you are merciful, and you love us, and we thank you for that. We recognize, Lord, our time here on this earth is short. We do want to do things for the common good. Empower us, enable us, and give us boldness to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we are going to have a review of our memory verse. We are now entering 2016 with our memory verse review. So some of the younger children might even have been born by this point in time.
Revelations 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying, for the former things have passed away. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
One of the fun things about reviewing these memory verses is I kind of look back on them and go, I don't remember how to play that anymore. Stand with me. Let's worship the Lord together.
Oh,
Father, your love is deep and vast, like the ocean, but incomparably more. And it's your love that lifts us up to you. Just as we could never cross an ocean under our own power, we could never swim across it or walk across it. We could never reach you on our own. And Father, we are so grateful and we are so thankful for your love and your mercy, that you loved us when we hated you while we were still your enemies. We worship you, Father, and we praise you this morning. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, crucified, risen, and coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Not too far.
first of all, no matter what you're going through, God cares and your church family cares. And so just know that you are loved and that you are appreciated. Please don't forget, pretty much every Saturday, we're going to have plenty of stuff to do at the building every week. So 9 a.m.'s on Saturdays, just show up if you're at all interested and available. We would really appreciate you using your gifts for the common good in that way. And I do want to just take a moment to just appreciate everyone who has helped so far with the building, but not just the building, but the people who help here at church with the setup, with the sound, the musicians. This is truly a community thing, and I really appreciate each and every person who is able to participate using their gifts. There is one more song, but go in peace and just know that you are loved.
Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Age to age he stands.
You're dismissed.